Hour three, Triple Option with RBKD. We got Rob Babers, we got Brad Kellner, and Kevin Dunn. I love this tune, Mustang Sally. It's a Motown-esque type Thursday. You guys down with this, right?
This is nice. I like it. Soulful. I don't know who sings Mustang Sally.
KD?
No.
I don't know.
Wilson Pickett.
Man, Wilson Pickett has so many good jams.
He does.
What an underrated. I actually heard on B&E earlier, maybe it was this week, they were playing some jam. Ended up being Wilson Pickett. Underrated.
Is that a guy or a band?
What's that?
Is Wilson Pickett just a guy or a band? He obviously plays in a band, right?
Oh, it's a guy.
Okay. I think he has a band. Well, not like an official band, but he's definitely like with a band.
No, he sings and plays all of these instruments at the same time. The brass, the woodwinds, the drums, everything.
He's very talented.
He's really underrated then.
Yeah. He's got six mouths, eight hands, four legs.
The one-man band, that was Wilson Pickett, actually. I used to talk, he was the original one-man band. Yeah, that was him.
Hey, let's give a shout-out to someone who's a... part of the family here, the Triple Option. We have him on. He's kind of our, not kind of, he is our golf guy. And Justin Ray, this is really cool. J-Ray.
I like that. J-Ray.
J-Ray is awesome. Worked with him at LHN, and you're going to hear him again. Just had a baby boy, Jack. Great name, too, Jack.
Jack. Sturdy. American classic.
You brought that up, Rod, during the break.
Sturdy. Strong.
That's not going to be era-driven, and it's probably not going anywhere either.
Jack was good in the 1800s, and Jack will be good in 2087. It'll still be a relatively popular name, Jack.
I think it will be.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Justin Ray, and welcome... Welcome to the world, Jack.
Hey, and welcome to a world where apparently the CDC says that if you are vaccinated, that you don't have to wear a mask anymore.
That is great news.
Did he tweet that out earlier today?
The CDC?
Different CDC.
Okay.
Different CDC.
You know what? Maybe CDC should tweet that out.
CDC was busy replying to turf or grass.
Ah, yes.
Oh,
he's
that's right.
He's still caught up with all that.
And the proper burnt orange.
Yeah,
the shades, the many shades of burnt orange.
Did y'all see him duck that question on Twitter today?
No.
Did he really?
Somebody else asked about turf versus grass because, there was a picture that went out last week of no turf nor grass at DKR. And he just said, the field's up for graduation. He didn't answer the question, turf or grass.
He knows what he's doing. He's just trying to keep the people in suspense.
Yeah, he's tired of it.
Well,
he says he gets asked that question more than any other question. Think about all of the problems we've had as an athletic department over the last decade, and the fact that this fan base cares more about grass versus turf at DKR. This fan base that's never going to play a game. At DKR, cares more about the surface at DKR, blows my mind.
It
always has, always will.
That is very strange that people care that much about it. Yeah. I agree with you.
We act like we're the only turf field in football. There are more turf fields in the NFL than there are grass fields.
What does Ricky Williams and Earl Campbell want? Because
it's their namesake, their field, right?
Yeah. It's the namesake, so Ricky probably...
I know what Ricky wants. We'll take grass.
Sticky, icky Ricky.
Yeah.
It's going to be a problem if he smokes the field by the time we get to TCU.
Shout out to the Heisman brand of marijuana, if you can get it. Ask those guys. If they want grass, let it be grass. I'm with you, BK. It doesn't matter. It's so ridiculous.
Coach's choice. That's what CDC said.
And he's going to say the players.
Especially for
the coach
football.
Is going to say, I want whatever the players want.
Right.
And he's going to keep this endless cycle, keep going around and around.
And then it even goes further than that. It's like, well, yeah, the current players, but you're already here. It's really, what a 16 and 17-year-olds want?
What are the players
want here?
We're going
to do a questionnaire in the state of Texas for 16 and 17-year-olds.
What do the future Longhorns of America want? That is the real question.
Right. Right.
Hey, let's ask Jack Ray, newborn baby. What he wants.
Jack.
Let's go all the way down to the
right, either cry or don't
hospitals.
When I show you this.
Unreal.
Oh, that's awesome.
Before we get back to the NFL schedules, one thing we were laughing at during the break was I had been off Twitter all day. This adulting's not fun, Rod.
It is
and
not.
So I was trying to catch up with stuff, and saw that Texas has their elite camps, their schedule out for their summer camps, you know?
Yeah, that goes back to that conversation too, actually, the grass and the turf conversation.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of stuff in the stadium.
Right. It's a good point, and they definitely do.
Sorry.
But there's a lot of different camps, but they all say elite camp. And I thought, okay, so little Roderick Babers could go to any of these camps. What about little Bradley Kellner and little Kevin Dunn? Because, I mean, we were elite in many ways at that age. Mm-hmm. But that was open to us, too. So is it just elite camps now? Just for you, like, talented guys that have potential?
Do they pay to go to these camps, right? They pay to go to these camps. Because I think everybody has to pay the same thing, so it's not some violation of some kind of weird thing. I don't know. I don't know if they do the mixing. Like, do your prospects who are actually in the camp, do they actually, you know, actually play and practice and train with the guys who are, and the young men who are not prospects?
I don't know.
The ones who are just going for fun, you know what I mean? They're not really being recruited. They're not being evaluated.
But what about little Johnny McCombs, whose granddad is red, and it's like, because you kind of brought this
up.
He's
going
to win MVP.
You want those guys at your camp. Yeah, they matter. Yeah, of course you want those. Those donors, if his dad is a big-time donor, he wants to. And my kid wants to train with the, you know, the number one 16-year-old in Houston. You know,
right, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and let them work out together. I don't know how that works. That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know how they do that.
Do I still look young enough to pull off the high school football player? Look,
man, you are young.
Unless you're coming from that punting academy from Australia.
That would be your bit.
That's your
bit.
With
your build, too.
Okay. Yeah.
That would be your bit.
That's it.
Until I punted one time.
I know.
But you went negative 6 yards.
Give me your Australian accent.
Tell him. Yeah,
first,
that
I need
too.
The Australian accent.
Tell him you choose not to punt.
Well, I'm a punter who chooses not to punt. I'm just a fake guy. Whenever you want to fake,
I choose
fake
not to punt
run
right
or
now.
Fake punt pass.
I choose not to punt today.
Yeah, my leg's hurting today. So
yeah, that's
it'll be
not
fine
work.
By the fall.
How is your Australian accent?
I don't speak Australian, so
it's
mate,
English.
Just
so.
Say mate.
Yeah. Do you guys remember when I asked Michael Dixon that question?
Yes.
I asked him about the language barrier. Because I thought they spoke a different language over there.
Oh, my God.
No, you did.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Back in the old midday.
Y'all had some funny bits. That's
awesome.
Been the best.
That was not great.
That is great. Why can't we bring that back?
Yeah.
Bring it back, Bucky's thing. Yeah. That needs to come back. That's classic.
You know who we need to talk to?
That's classic.
He cuts up stuff with me talking about women and all that, and that's completely unfair. But we need to talk to Trey.
We need to talk to Trey.
To get some of his dirt, because he's not going to bring it back.
He has no shame, though, so...
Well,
if he did, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like trying to shame someone with no shame. It can't be shamed.
Yeah, he'll just laugh at you.
Shameless.
He'll just smile.
I'd ask him again if I could.
Exactly. He thought it was funny. He's like, that's a good bit.
How's the Australian, dude?
He's a tough guy to make fun of, and that's a good lesson to all you kids out there. If you laugh stuff off, people will stop making fun of you.
Very true.
That's it.
It's like, all right, what are we going to do? We can definitely make fun of Houston, and we'll get to that here in a second. Houston Texans NFL schedule. But let's get back and focus on Dallas. We'll go to our resident Cowboys fan here, Brad Kellner. BK, we said, first time we talked about this, start the show off, that I think we all agreed that there's two for sure losses. Two losses right now, mid-May, that you would say they're going to lose the opener at Tampa Bay. And they're also going to lose at Kansas City. That's November 21st. You said you had them at 11 wins. What are those games that are going to sway that? What are those 50-50 games that could make that be 12 wins or 9 wins?
Well, it kind of feels like Tampa Bay and Kansas City are in a league of their own,
doesn't it? Yes, it does.
I mean, I know it's easy to say that about the two Super Bowl participants from the year before, but, man, it feels like both of those teams got even better.
Yeah,
what they were last year.
And with salary cap, in the salary cap era, that's not always the case.
No, not at all. I mean, Tampa Bay, the first Super Bowl champ to return all 22 starters, and Kansas City was awesome all year long. They obviously got punked in the Super Bowl, but they got even better this offseason. So, yeah, you chalk those up as two likely losses for the Cowboys. But there are only three teams that finished above 500 that are on the Cowboys' schedule this year. You've got Tampa, you've got Kansas City, you've got New Orleans. New Orleans is one of those swing games. I mean, in a normal
totally
year
agree.
Where Drew Brees is there, you're going to the Superdome on a short week on a Thursday, that's probably an L.
Yeah.
But with the Jameis-Taysom combination, we're not quite sure what New Orleans is going to look like. So that's one of those sway games to me. Still a tough atmosphere, still on a Thursday, but that feels more winnable than in the past. A couple of other swing games I'd look at. The Washington games feel like swing games.
Yeah.
You got to go at least 1-1 against them. I mean, they're your toughest competition in the NFC East. I think the Cowboys are better than Washington, but you can't go 0-2 and risk losing the tiebreaker to the football team this year. I'd throw New England as a swing game.
Mm-hmm.
You get them relatively early in the season, week 5 or week 6, right around there. Who knows where the Patriots are going to be quarterback-wise at that point, right? I think Cam Newton's going to start the year for New England, but do they make the move to Mac Jones at some point this season?
Is that Mac the gut?
And does it happen by week 6 when the Cowboys take their talents up to Foxborough? So New England's one of those swing games at Minnesota.
Swing game.
Sunday Night Football feels like a swing game.
Denver could be an L if someone's there.
Yeah, depends.
John Elway.
John Elway is exactly what I'm thinking of.
Peyton Manning.
No, Paxton Lynch. I think he's going to come back.
Paxton Lynch.
If Aaron Rodgers is there to go with that team, then all of a sudden that takes on a completely different feel.
Oh, that's a for sure L.
Yeah.
That's not a sway game.
Right.
That is a loss if Aaron Rodgers doesn't lose to the Cowboys, dude.
No.
I don't care what team he's on. He could bring the Texas Longhorns to take on the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to beat the Cowboys, okay? It's going to happen. I'll give you one more. I'm giving you probably more than you wanted. Arizona's another one of those swing games. That's very late in the season. That's week 17. So weird we have a week 18.
I know. I'm still getting used to it.
It's going to take a long time to get used to. But Arizona, second to last week of the season, that could be big for both teams. Fighting for playoff spots, playoff positioning. In Arizona, I don't think they're going to win the NFC West, but I do think they'll be in the mix for a wild card spot, and the Cowboys might need that game to lock up the division. So that, to me, seems like it could be a swing game as well. So
you guys are totally sold on Philly, aren't you?
On Philly being
bad? I mean, you're selling on them.
Yeah,
I said that the wrong way.
Well, yeah, I think there's a belief that Jalen Hurts is not going to be the quarterback of the future for them.
I'm on that path.
That they don't believe it. None of us believe it, that he's a bridge. And I actually supported the draft pick.
You did.
But I never intended for him to be the franchise quarterback already.
No.
Right.
He was a franchise.
No.
You know what I mean? So
and
I,
you actually said, and I never maybe said he was, does that. You never even said he was.
Yeah, exactly. I never said.
I didn't bust your balls on that because you gave rational takes on how to use him.
He's going to be more of a weapon and more of a situational player for them and an insurance policy behind Carson Wentz.
Situationally.
Turns out they need to cash in on that insurance policy a lot quicker than they thought. So.
Yeah. You got to go 2-0 against Philly this year.
You do. I agree with that.
Split with Washington.
New head coach.
And 1-1 would be acceptable if you already have the NFC East locked up by week 18.
Because
the Cowboys wrap up the regular season in Philadelphia. So hopefully that's we're benching our starters type of game. Then you can stomach a loss to Philly. But that game in Dallas against the Eagles, the home opener for the Cowboys, Monday Night Football Week 3, that's got to be a win.
What do y'all think about Las Vegas? Because they're one of those.
Great
that,
city.
It is. It's a lot of fun. Strippers are great.
Wow.
They are great.
You get a buffet.
Warren's there.
Warren's hanging out there. Jimmy
are buffets
and Warren.
Back to normal?
It's a great question,
since
Rod. I don't
COVID
know.
COVID is starting to, at least a little bit, we're starting to get back to normal.
Yeah, we're getting better news.
CDC says now if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. Are people going to get back to buffets? BK, you're a buffet man. Are you back to it?
Not yet.
Not yet, but you will be.
I will be.
What's the best buffet in Austin?
CC's.
Whoa, man, that was
quick.
You were ready
barely
for that.
Barely got it out your mouth before you threw that out there.
Isn't that where you go after one of your holidays where you can't eat bread?
Yeah, I go after Passover, which is the 8 days with no bread, and Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, the day where we fast, sundown to sundown. No better way to break a fast.
A little CC's.
Some nutritional pizza, pasta, and salad from CC's Pizza.
You go salad
CC's?
There?
No, I don't go salad. That's a waste of stomach space.
Didn't sound like you at all.
That's ridiculous.
Especially when you broke everyone's heart driving around today saying, I just can't put weight on. Oh, that's really sad.
Sorry about that.
I feel bad for you.
Yep. But I like the Cowboys schedule a lot, guys.
Okay.
I really do.
But what about Vegas, though? I mean, obviously the Raiders. Yeah.
I completely sidetracked you and then tried to act like I didn't sidetrack you.
Strippers and everything.
Right,
and buffets. It was his fault, really, because the buffet thing.
Jimmy or Warren?
And the strippers.
No.
CC's the best buffet in Austin.
There we go.
Back to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Do we have any idea if the Raiders are going to be good?
No.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
They will be.
Like, that's a game you can lose if you play like crap. They were a .500 football team a year ago. Derek Carr's an average quarterback. They've got some pieces. I mean, Josh Jacobs is a good running back.
Yep.
They're good on the lines of scrimmage. Like, I think they're a borderline 500 team again this year. I mean, the Raiders beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead last season.
That is true.
Like, they're capable of, I don't want to say consistently beating the big dogs, but they can hang with the big dogs.
Yeah.
So they're good enough to come into Dallas on Turkey Day on a short week and beat the Cowboys. If I had to pick right now, I'd pick the Cowboys to win that football game, but that's not a gimme by any stretch.
Yeah, it just feels like there's maybe four or five games that are going to sway it, like it is usually with every schedule, but a lot of that is, I just don't know how good this Dallas defense is. If I had a better feel for that, I could answer those.
Yeah, the good news for the Cowboys, look, Tampa Bay week one is not good news.
No.
That's the best team in football at their place. They're raising the banner. That feels like a loss. But after that, the opening to the Cowboys regular season is not that hard. At the Chargers week two, we like Justin Herbert. That's still, what, a 4-5 win team from a year ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you've got three straight home games against the Eagles, the Panthers, and the Giants.
Yeah.
Like, despite likely starting 0-1, you could be 4-1 and carry a multiple game lead in your division into the second month of the NFL season.
Yeah.
Like, anything below 3-2 would be a problem for the Cowboys. And it feels like, yeah, they're going to be favored in four of their first five games. You'd like for them to take care of business early, so when the schedule gets a little bit tougher midway through, when you got to go to Kansas City, you got to go to New Orleans, you got to go to Washington, and you got to play Vegas in a four-week stretch, you've got some leeway there. So if you do slip up against the meatier part of your schedule, you're fine. You still have a lead in the division because you took care of business early on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What about the Texans, gentlemen? What are we saying? 15-2, 16-1, 17-0? Any takers?
I think they're getting to the Super Bowl. I don't know what their record's going to be, but I think you guys are getting there, right?
What year is this?
I don't know. What year am I living in right now?
2030.
Right, exactly.
Is the Super Bowl at NRG Stadium this year? Is that why
you
say that?
They can go back as fans. Actually, I think they got their best chance to win a game. I know it's going to sound weird. Is the first game of the season.
It is.
And that's their best chance to win a game all season long. They'll play Jacksonville. Just drafted Trevor Lawrence. We know Trevor Lawrence is great, but that's the reason they were drafted number one overall. That is a bad football team. Texans are a bad team, too, but that'll play out as the season plays out. I think the first game of the season, Tyrod Taylor, Texans will have a new look offense. Nobody will know how the hell it's going to look. So will Jacksonville for the most part, too. So I think just all that uncertainty and the mystery. Urban Meyer's already made some questionable decisions even in the offseason. And even in the draft, drafting a third down back in the first round and trying to bring in Doyle, the strength and conditioning coach that was basically excommunicated out of Iowa because he was insensitive in these very sensitive times. So he's already made some questionable decisions, even the Tim Tebow thing. So I don't know. I think the Texans, actually I'm rooting for them, and I think they're going to actually pull the upset in game one. That may be the only win they have all year long, and then they'll lose the rest of them.
What are you laughing at?
It's just amazing we're calling that an upset.
I know.
I know.
It is. And by Vegas standards, it is. Yeah, the Jags are 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah, that's an upset.
The Jags won one game last year. They've got a first-time NFL head coach. They've got a first-year starter at quarterback, and they're favored on the road at a Houston team that was in the second round of the playoffs 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's this horrible, is not man. Upsetting Mark Brunell and that crew.
That's terrible. You're right. I haven't thought about it that way, BK. That's
and the Texans beat the Jags twice. Like, think about how bad Houston was last year. Two of their four wins came against Jacksonville. And Jacksonville is still favored to beat Houston on the road.
That's true. Any shot against Carolina or the Jets?
Yeah.
All right.
For sure.
I mean, those are two I look at. They could win those.
Those are your four most winnable games. The two against Jacksonville, Carolina at home. Where's that Jets game?
Jets is at home.
Okay.
They got a shot there.
Yeah, those are your most winnable games.
They got four chances to win a game.
The question is, like, how far into the season do we get before we want the Texans to lose? Some people would say week one.
Oh, I
just go 0-17.
So that's from the start.
That's what I was laughing.
Okay. You don't want to win a game.
I was going to say, like, when does it become apparent where it's like, okay, winning is a problem?
Winning is a problem right now for the Texans.
Did you hear what Rod said earlier? He just said, I actually hope they win that game against Jacksonville. Which gives you the mindset of Texans fans right now in May, and it should be. They're like, you know what, I'll root for them for one or two.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as we still get that number one pick, I wouldn't mind getting a win or two.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to root for them in any other game.
Exactly. I think they can win that game. I just think realistically. But the rest of these games, guys, they're going to get beat up. They're already a depleted roster. They're bereft of a lot of talent. They're going to get even more beat up as the season goes on. Mm-hmm. If they play Cleveland and then at Buffalo and then at Indy and at Arizona and versus the Rams. So that's what I'm saying. They'll be the freshest they'll ever be in that game. The mystery, the uncertainty about the Jacksonville Jaguars scheme and the Texans scheme, it may actually be advantageous to the Texans in that game. And Tyrod Taylor is serviceable. And rookie quarterbacks, no matter how great they are, they tend to struggle in their first games.
No doubt.
Go back and look at Peyton Manning. Go back and look at Andrew Luck. All the great
Peyton
ones.
Peyton Manning's first year.
Yeah, they're just babies. They're young. Mm-hmm. So that is your shot, Texans. That's your one shot. But after that, they need to lose. They need to lose. They need to get the number one overall pick in the future in the 2022 draft.
You just don't want to be the first team to go 0-17.
You know, exactly.
Like win a game,
you go.
But also win the number one
overall. Oh, you can't. 0-17. That's a possibility, man. We can't have that, guys.
It is. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't have faith in Jacksonville.
Then Deshaun Watson and his allegations, and then 0-17 being a real possibility. Oh, man. Yeah. That would be one of the lowest points for any football franchise in the NFL.
Yeah.
It really would be.
It'd be a quick turnaround, too.
Oh, man.
All right, take us to break, Rod, so we don't have to depress you anymore.
Well, now I'm depressed. Try to get a little bit of a pick-me-up. I went down a rabbit hole, and Westlake Football is the one that actually directed me down this rabbit hole, and I just kept going. So I'll share with you on the other side in Rod's Rant of the Day, right here on the Triple Option with RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
You've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. You guys know I like to go rabbit holing often. I'll just get a hold of some little nugget of information, little tidbit of information, and I'll start chasing it, and usually it takes me down sometimes a dark path, but oftentimes a path of enlightenment, if you will. I end up coming out smarter on the other side, and I get a chance to share it with you guys. Some of y'all really don't care, and sometimes it's really interesting, but this time it was...
No, everyone I talk to loves the rabbit holing. Whether it ends up being dark, but it's always informative.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Especially a Westlake rabbit hole.
This is a Westlake rabbit hole. How much does that hole cost? Usually those are expensive rabbit holes.
They are.
The rabbit holing in Westlake will usually end up striking gold there. Yeah. Glory hole, as Jerry Jones would call it. Anyway.
I want me some glory hole.
Yeah, we know Jerry.
So I saw this little stat I was reading about. The Westlake Chaps in the NFL draft, and they had a really good draft, Westlake did, because they had two players selected in the draft. First time in school history, they actually had two players selected in the same draft. And I was like, man, that just seems... That's rare.
Yeah.
That should be more. And I haven't heard a lot of people talking about it. I'm sure a few Westlake folks. Is it a big thing? People celebrating it? I know Westlake right now is dealing with other issues. It's
been a rough couple months with Jackson Coker and obviously Jake.
Yeah, with Jake. So really before the Jake Ellinger thing.
But were people talking about that
after the draft? Because I was like, man, that's really elite company to be in of a high school that produced two NFL draft picks in the same draft.
I had some friends that were talking about it and even some friends from other schools that were like, man, what's going on there?
Yeah. No, that's legit, man. And so that basically Sam Ellinger and the tight end that was drafted, make sure I get his name right, Kylan Grayson.
Great story. Spectrum did a really good story on Spectrum News.
I don't know a lot about him. I didn't either,
but okay. Like this
and they both got drafted to Indy.
Both the Indy.
Which is just even crazier.
And he didn't expect to ever be an NFL guy. Really grew into his body and just got better. Hadn't played that position. And all of a sudden, it just kind of turned into one of those where you're in that last year and you're an NFL prospect and no one ever, including you, didn't think it was going
to
happen.
And they became the 8th and 9th Westlake Chaps to be drafted, right? To be drafted. The list I have is Brad Shear, 1978, Breeze, 01, Seth McKinney.
Yeah. Seth was my year.
2002, Miami Kyle Adams.
Okay.
Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Ryan Swope didn't play but ended up being drafted because he had the, I think it was a concussion injury or something like that.
He was a good slot guy.
I remember when I was doing Westlake games, I was telling I was telling Texas to recruit him. I was like, y'all should go after him.
This is your next Nunez.
He was a little, I was like, he's a real deal. I was like, he legit. He can play wide wide receiver.
You were
he was playing running back then. Yeah, and I was right. Anyway, the only thing I was right about the damn staff. Anyway, Bryce Hager also on that list. And, of course, Sam Ehlinger. And we talked about the tight end, Colin Grayson. So that is, so this list comes from the Austin American Statesman. So,
Pretty
legit. So, 8th and 9th.
May I?
Oh, sorry.
Colin Grayson.
Grandson, sorry.
Just want to make sure.
I apologize.
It's all good.
Grayson. My apologies, grandson family. Well, disrespecting the
I didn't even
like
know
that.
About him until the Spectrum report, so.
Yeah.
That's why when you said that, I was like, yeah, maybe it is Grayson.
Yeah. No. I got it wrong. I apologize.
The kid's got to jump in.
No. I appreciate you correcting me about that. Okay, so I went and did some research on how often a high school has two different players drafted in the same draft. Which is just rare. So come to find out, in the 2021 draft, there were total 16 high schools in America with multiple players drafted in the NFL draft for 2021. Texas had 4 of those high schools. Austin Westlake was one. Oak Ridge, Conroe, Oak Ridge was another one.
I'm about to say H-Town better be in there somewhere, right?
Episcopal Bel Air was another one, so that's in H-Town. In Bel Air, but it's still H-Town. It's like the Westlake inside Austin, Texas.
Another expensive rabbit hole.
Pretty much, yeah. Then there's Allen, of course. Allen had 2, and Allen is in Dallas, or in the DFW area there. All right, Allen, Texas, technically.
Yeah.
In that DFW still? That's what I thought.
I think the stadium has its own zip code.
Speaking of expensive rabbit holes, that is one, too. So I went back to look. I was like, so I wonder, Texas, we know, is doing really well in terms of producing NFL players. So I wondered how well they did in 2020. So I went back, did some research. 2020, there were 18 high schools in America that had multiple players drafted. 3 of those high schools were in Texas. DeSoto with LaVisca Chenault.
Yeah.
And James Prochet.
I talked about Shiverini did a great job. Darren Shiverini, the Colorado receivers coach, of going to DeSoto and getting a lot of those guys. Like, there's a little connection where I was like, hey, how does CU have that connection?
Nice little pipeline. Well, CU used to have a great connection in
Texas.
They
did, but I'm thinking the CU now.
Yeah, CU now doesn't have that. Great point. I didn't even know he was actually from Texas until I did some research there and you started bringing it up. Lawrence Elkins, that's Sugarland, Texas, so that's close to H-Town. And Wiley from Wiley, Texas. I'd ask Craig Way where Wiley, Texas is.
Close to the Metroplex, I think.
Is that it too?
Think
is that in the DFW area? Okay, so 2019, there was only 1 Texas school, but 12 high schools across America with multiple draft picks in the same draft. But 1 Texas school, that was Allen. Again, they keep showing up.
That's pretty good.
They had 3 players drafted in the same draft, actually, in 2019. Kyler Murray, Greg Little, and Bobby Evans. Drafted in the same draft. 2018, there were 12 high schools with multiple players drafted in that draft. Only 1 from Texas, that was from Houston, Taylor, and they had Duke Ejiofor and Ogbonnaya Okoronkwo. Do you remember this name?
Sounds right.
Is that the Oklahoma player?
I'm not sure where he came from. Yeah.
All right.
I wish I could tell you.
Okoronkwo?
Is it Okoronkwo?
I don't know.
I think you're right.
We're talking about the same
Okoronkwo, I think it's Okoronkwo or Okoronkwo. I could be off about either one of those. I've obviously screwed up a couple of names already.
He's not trying to be insensitive.
I'm not trying to be, exactly. Last thing I'm trying to be.
I'm
just ignorant, all right, if anything.
We all
ignorant.
Are with pronunciations on those. We need to get better.
In 2017, there were 12 high schools again with multiple players drafted in the 2017 NFL draft, and there was 1 from Texas, and that was in Carrollton, Texas. Hebron?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Hebron. Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
From there, too.
And got a big tattoo of the Hebron.
Oh, he does? Is that is this DFW?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also has a Dallas Stars tattoo. My guess is he's the only NFL player with a Dallas Stars tattoo.
It's got to be. I hope he is.
Oh, we talked about that whenever you were thinking about trying to get him down here. We were like, hey, could Dallas actually go after him? And you
Seattle.
Mentioned the Stars tattoo.
I like how you like
offered a million picks.
It's a tramp stamp, too, right?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought it was lower back.
That would be awesome if it was. Dietrich Wise was the other player out of of Hebron in Carrollton, Texas. So in 2016, as far back as I could go, I couldn't find, as far as my rabbit holing went, I'd had to do way too much research to get into 2015.
There.
So 2016 was the last year I could go back. Six high schools in America, though, that had multiple players drafted. Only six, and two were from Texas in 2016. Wheatley High School in H-Town. I know Wheatley very well. William Jackson, who was part of Tom Herman's regime there in Houston.
Oh, Houston, yeah.
And Xavier Howard. That means Wheatley had two players who ended up being two of the better secondary players, not only in that draft, because Xavier Howard was drafted in the second round. They both went on to have really good NFL careers so far in the league, both in the secondary. So shout out to Weasley. Mm-hmm. And Mansfield Legacy in Mansfield, Texas. They had two. Josh Doxson was a part of that group. And Reese Odhiambo. Yeah, in that name.
I don't know
guys?
That name, no. Right.
Well, he was the other guy from Mansfield, Texas. So, just kind of keeping track of, there have been 12 high schools in the last 6 years from the great state of Texas that have had multiple players drafted. Allen has done it twice.
That's crazy.
Like, I don't, that's,
you know what stands
that makes
out?
No sense, guys. That is a football factory. But Westlake now in that elite category now that they have, of the 12 schools in the last 6 years that have had multiple players drafted in the great state of Texas. Guys, there are 15,000 high schools across America. I mean, you don't thinking about how elite you have to be to produce multiple NFL players in the same draft.
Yeah.
Westlake should be really proud of themselves. I'm sure, you know, Lake Travis will be there in a few years too, but that's a hell of a leap for Westlake when the school started, what, in the late 60s or something? When did it come around?
You know
how long has Westlake been around?
You know when late 60s? You know when it was founded?
When?
1969.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, wait, inside Westlake joke.
Of course, we always love that because you drive by and it said Westlake High School founded 1969.
Man, I've been trying to figure out, you know, as a guy who grew up in Dallas, to figure out which lake was the best lake for a long time.
There's your answer.
That might seal it for Westlake being founded in 1969.
That might seal it.
That's the dagger right there. But that's pretty cool. That's the first Central Texas team, right? All the other schools that you mentioned.
Yeah,
there have
been
Dallas,
seen Houston, or some random aberration that'll happen right out of, I don't know. So I'm trying to look at one of these.
I think all of those
schools,
like Mansfield is DFW.
Mansfield.
Allen's DFW.
Hebron.
Hebron's DFW.
Yeah.
I think the other schools are all Houston area, so.
Yeah.
Is Wiley, too?
Wiley's DFW.
Well, you said
man,
that.
I mm-hmm. think you're right about that. Yeah, I think you're right. It's either Houston or Dallas.
And that's been kind of a shift because the reputation when Rod and I were in high school and going to college was Dallas guys don't pan out, and they have panned out. I mean, there was always talent there, but in terms of at the collegiate level and certainly getting to the NFL draft, and that's not a problem anymore. One thing I did notice out of that, only one University of Texas guy, right?
No, Joseph Osai. We're talking about just out of all of these guys.
Of all the guys you mentioned, so Osai would be in there too.
Osai was in at Conroe. And some people consider Conroe to be a part of Greater Houston. And some people say that's a stretch. Mm. So maybe they're on the outskirts, but some
I
people
think
say,
of Houston when I hear Conroe.
People, that's what I'm saying. Some people do, and some people, it depends. Greater Houston is not as cemented, like it's not as solidified in terms of the actual zip codes and the actual counties as DFW is.
Gotcha.
Seems like everybody knows what counties are in DFW and what cities are in DFW. You say Greater Houston, everybody's like, this is Greater Houston, the Woodlands, and is Humble Greater Houston, and all that stuff like that. So.
I think San Antonio.
Galveston.
San Antonio is considered Greater Houston.
Like people say Galveston is Greater Houston. I'm like, Galveston now is Greater Houston.
They combine those two.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, well, Greater Houston is every damn thing. So maybe Central Texas will get like that too, but you're right, BK. Central Westlake is the only Central Texas school. The rest of these are Houston or Dallas area, a DFW area.
That's cool. That's
yeah,
fine,
it is.
Man.
It is really good fun.
Yeah.
Love that.
Del Valle, watch out for them in the next 20 years in Central Texas.
Mm. Elon Musk will have it popping out there, huh?
Hey, they got that coach.
No, they do. They got that coach from IMG, right?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of IMG, should bring them up. They're IMG, remember, I think this is Jimbo Fisher who said IMG shouldn't count toward the totals when you count high school players who were drafted from a certain state.
Oh,
he
so
said they
Florida
shouldn't count for Florida because Kellen Mond went there and different guys from LSU, they'll go there. So, yeah, I kind of agree with that. But if you're just looking at the high school that produces the most NFL players, I mean, IMG had seven players drafted in the 2021 draft.
That's crazy.
So, less than I thought.
Yeah, I know. That's the other thing.
And I think in 2020, I mean, they had four. Grant Delpit's in there and Kellen Mond. It's like those guys played in Texas.
Get out of here.
In Louisiana. So that's not really true. So I agree with Jimbo Fisher there. But if you look at it, American Heritage, which is in Plantation, Florida, had six players drafted in the 2021 draft. And I believe that's where Patrick Surtain Sr. coaches. That's where Patrick Surtain might be from, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Is Greg McDermott on that staff, too? Creighton basketball
wow.
coach.
The Creighton yeah. Plantations.
I know.
Well
I was,
done. And that guy survived being canceled. Can you believe that?
Well, they made it to the Sweet 16 for the first time in school history. So.
That'll get rid of some canceling right there.
We're keeping him around.
You know, and look, all three of us.
So true.
All three of us have made fun of some of the stuff that is being canceled that is kind of laughable, like Abe Lincoln and stuff like that. But Plantation, Florida, that still survived? I mean, you didn't rename that one?
Yeah, I don't know how that survived. That's a good point. Yeah,
Florida, that's your
it's
answer.
It's Florida, that's why.
That's your answer. Good stuff. Rod's rant of the day here on the Triple Option with RBKD. When we come back, we'll take a closer look at the NFL schedule. Revenge. Everybody loves revenge. We've got some of the best revenge games from around the league. We'll tell you what they are next.
Motown S Thursday here on the Horn, Triple Option with RBKD, Rod Babers, Brad Cohn there, Kevin Dunn, a little more than an hour to go. Definitely talking a lot of NFL schedule, and understandably so. We've gotten into the Cowboys and the Texans, one and done. If you want to get to hornfm.com, went through the first 8 weeks and some of the games that kind of stand out to us. I tried to avoid some of those revenge games, which... it makes sense. A lot of people were kind of focused on those, and we can get to those right now. Best revenge games on the NFL schedule. Do we even need to debate what's number one this year? I think we know what's number one, and I believe it's week four.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when that's happening?
We think we know what the number one revenge game is?
I mean, Tom Brady going back to New England?
That's pretty good.
Right?
That's pretty good.
If you got something that'll beat it or challenge, there are definitely some out there, but that... You know, Matt Stafford, Detroit, but no.
It's not as sexy as there ever Tom Brady going back.
Yeah, has there ever been a sexier revenge game in NFL history than Tom Brady going back to New England to take on Bill Belichick?
Good question.
What about sports? Forget just NFL. What about sports, guys? This is
unreal.
There
have been some good ones, but you're right. That would have been LeBron's
but Cleveland wasn't that good.
Cleveland wasn't good.
Yeah. Right. And LeBron,
when Brett Favre went back to played Green Bay at Minnesota was big, but I don't know if it was as big as the GOAT going back to New England.
Hmm. Yeah, and LeBron didn't get to play against Dan Gilbert, right? The Cavs owner who wrote that letter and just publicly bashed LeBron James for a couple of years after he went to Miami.
Although I'd like to see that one-on-one matchup.
Yeah. Be a nice poster there.
Yeah.
Of Dan Gilbert. But I don't know if we've ever seen anything like this, guys. I mean, I know Bill Belichick doesn't play, but in terms of like on the field, these guys competing against each other, Bill Belichick, the best coach in NFL history, the great defensive mind that he is, going up against the GOAT, the greatest quarterback of all time, and the great offensive mind that Tom Brady is, that's special. And we talked about it some last year, and I think we're slowly finding out more and more about the bad blood that existed between those two. A lot of people tried to downplay that. A lot of people tried to poo-poo the notion that there was any beef between Brady and Belichick. But, man, if there was no beef, Tom Brady would still be in New England. So there was clearly some stuff going on behind the scenes there. And, I mean, what did we talk about all last offseason, Rod? Brady versus Belichick. Who's going to get the upper hand? Who's going to win the divorce? Clearly, Tom Brady won round one. So now Bill Belichick has a chance. I know it's a regular season game. It doesn't mean as much as winning the Super Bowl, but... Bill Belichick has a chance to kind of level the playing field and sort of get back to that winning debate in terms of this breakup.
Yeah, I mean, it's sweet revenge for Tom Brady. I don't know if Belichick will ever be able to gain the upper hand in the debate anymore. I think the debate's over.
He's got to win a Super Bowl to do it.
Exactly. And nobody thinks that the Patriots are going to win a Super Bowl anytime soon. Not with all these other variables out here like Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
Division's
and what Cleveland's
better.
Doing and the Bills and the Browns. Nobody sees that happening. I don't don't see it happening in the near future. I don't see it happening before Belichick, definitely retires. I'll say pass away. I don't want the man to die. Man. But before he retires.
Chad Hastings
but, here. But so I think that, to me, I agree. This is a great revenge game. I think BK's right. I don't know if you can find a better revenge game in history of all sports. But I don't know if the debate exists anymore of whether Belichick is going to be able to one-up Tom Brady in the GOAT discussion. It's over.
Yeah.
It's Brady's. Brady won it. First year, COVID offseason, it's his. Mm. He won it.
Yeah, Belichick, 69 years old right now.
Mm. He looks good for his age.
He does look good.
I don't think he's winning a Super Bowl within the next couple of years. So, the question becomes, how long does he coach?
Yeah.
And does he care so much about beating Tom Brady
that it keeps him in the game?
That he coaches into his 80s.
Interesting.
Ooh. Like, does he just stay around for way too long in efforts to get that Super Bowl to try to stick it to the Team Brady guys out there?
Ooh, and that would kill his legacy, too, because how many bad seasons he's going to have to endure to get to that one golden season?
Does he like life enough? Like the other parts of life, like the other 99.9% of life.
I know he likes football, though. He's one of those people he's a football historian, so he actually studies football in his free time when that's like part of him relaxing and unwinding.
So would he even want to quit?
No, I'm like,
does
I'm
he just
want
to die? Yeah, die there.
Great point. He might not want to quit ever.
Which apparently is going to happen pretty soon.
And if you're the Patriots, you're never going to fire Robert Kraft will be dead before they think about firing Bill Belichick.
And you're trying to kill off the whole Patriots.
Oh, right. I apologize for being so grim.
Anyone else there?
N'Keal Harry, watch out.
What about Robert's masseuse?
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. I should keep those jokes to you and Houston.
No, do it.
Unreal. Some other good revenge games, guys. Week one, Sam Darnold will take on the New York Jets.
That's sexy.
That's like in Carolina, though. It'd be a little bit sexier if it was in New York and Sam Darnold was going back to the Meadowlands. You've got Jared Goff. You talked about this during One and Done. Jared Goff and the Lions going up against Matt Stafford and the Rams. So, mini revenge game for both of those two. Mainly for Jared Goff.
I like how I didn't even bring up Goff, and Goff would be the one.
Goff's the guy looking for revenge.
Like I've already sold on Goff.
Uh-huh. About Arizona versus Houston, week 7.
Yep.
I wish this game were in Houston. It's in the desert, but obviously J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins getting to square off against their former team.
That's true.
Jameis Winston versus Tampa Bay. In week 8, I mean, we know the Saints and Bucks played twice last year, but Jameis was not a part of those games.
Is Jameis going to be the starting quarterback?
We don't know if he'll be a part of these games either. Good question. Cam Newton, speaking of the Patriots. Cam Newton in Carolina, week 9. That's a pretty intriguing one as well. And then maybe my favorite under-the-radar revenge game, week 4. Cincinnati and Jacksonville.
Why is it revenge?
Trevor Lawrence against Joe Burrow.
Oh. Well
Trevor done. Lawrence looking for revenge from the
well done.
2019 College Football National Championship game.
Okay, I like that.
So it's I do bad. Like that matchup. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of quarterback turnover this offseason. Makes sense that you have a decent number of revenge games. I'd honestly expect us to have a few more, but that's not the case this year. But those games will be must-see television, and of course, week 4. I mean, Michael Irvin, I heard him talking about it on NFL Network last night. He thinks that Bucks-Patriots game might be like the most watched regular season NFL game ever.
Yeah, it could be, way the ratings are now, and that's going to be the one we're all watching this year. So.
What is the highest-rated regular season NFL game ever? Is it something?
That's a good question.
Is it Manning versus a Brady? I bet one of those
I would guess Cowboys-Niners.
Cowboys-Niners is probably up in there, yeah.
Because the TVs, it already gotten the ratings at that point.
Good point. Either right before Deion or right after Deion switched teams. Yeah, I can see that because those were always big.
And we knew that was going to be the NFC Championship game for like 3 or 4 years.
Good point.
So it felt like a playoff game in the regular season.
Brett Favre playing Green Bay at Minnesota as the Minnesota quarterback has got to be in the discussion too. It's got to be up there.
Sunday Night Football, week 4, by the way, for Bucks Pats. How about this, gentlemen? Average ticket price for that game.
Oh, man.
$1,376.
Ooh.
The second closest regular season average ticket price for this year, $944.
Mm.
Ravens at Raiders,
okay,
which is the week 1 Sunday Night Football game at the brand new, well, I guess it was used last year, but nobody could go last year, that new Raider Stadium in Vegas.
Wow.
So, yeah. Okay. Average price around $1,400, and that's on May 13th. It's probably going to go up, too. Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. Mm. High ticket.
NFL schedule talk here on the Triple Option with RBKD. By the way, if you're looking for the Cowboys or Texans schedules, you can find them on our website, hornfm.com. They're right there on the homepage. We make it easy. When we return, we'll get back into the UT conversation. Texas football getting some much-needed help on offense. We'll tell you about that. And Texas basketball losing a key piece from last year's squad. That's next.